which was last night, to discuss problems in the school system. Now, the school board is the governing body, elected governing body, who hires the superintendent and approves budgets and things like that. The superintendent...
They don't approve budgets, but...
I thought they did.
They submit budgets. No, the county council approves
budgets.
They
approve it from the... But they aren't they the negotiators between... Maybe not. I thought they were between the union and the teachers and...
No, they work directly with the union. And then the county...
All right. They approve council. They approve the budget before they send it off to the county council. Right. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Man. So anyhow, the next thing that happens... they hire a superintendent. Our superintendent, Dr. Terry Albom's been here about 10 years now. Has it been seem like that? Maybe 8 years? Something like that. More than 5 years. And it is her responsibility, in my understanding, you may correct me if I'm wrong, that she is the one that is in charge of superintending the schools, the employees and the students and all the staff. That's her job. Now, when problems occur, there must be a twofold function, apparently, or twofold avenue. Or what's that mean? There's two avenues that you could take your complaint to the superintendent, or you also have the opportunity to send your complaint to the Board of Education. Board of Education members get a lot of information all the time because they're out in the public. Not that the superintendent isn't, but there's more than one Board of Education member. They're out in the public. They are known, and they receive a lot of information. In that information, I believe, I don't know how it happened in this particular case, but two things were occurring. And I'm not so sure they're not related to each other, but you'll have to tell me this. Two things. A definite, obvious shortage of people power. I used to say manpower, but somebody yell. In many positions. I guess from teachers to support staff to bus drivers, you name it. And maybe because of that, an extremely low morale with employees. The educators, the teachers that speak to me reflect, or they don't hold back because they know that I'm going to protect them. I'm not going to, but they don't mind telling me what's going on and their frustrations and how they can and cannot express their frustrations. So if it's not addressed, if you will, well, that makes no sense, but if it's not addressed, it's only going to grow. And at some point, it comes to a head wherein the employee has to make a decision. Do I stay or do I go? And unfortunately, enough employees have gone that we're now in a shortage. And before you start to hire to replace those employees, you have to clean up a situation that is detrimental to hiring, is that why would you want to come to work here when this A, B, C, D, F are not good? Why would you want to come to work here when this doesn't happen, or that this is how you're taking care of or not taking care of? So last night, it was like a sounding board, or at least the beginning of a sounding board, way overdue. But I'm not so sure that they'll be taken seriously by the system. Because remember, the school board only has certain powers. The school board can't really interfere with the day-to-day teaching, should not be able to interfere with the day-to-day teaching or take over the role of the superintendent. They can send on matters, they can send on suggestions, but I would think the superintendent is the one who controls that. Is there fault? I'm not looking for fault. I'm looking for solutions. But I haven't heard any solutions yet. Don't want to talk about?
Yeah, this is going on in school systems all over the country. The problems addressed yesterday by the Frederick County Board.
What about the morale problem?
Yeah. I mean, all these problems give you create morale problems.
But I didn't know that there were morale problems every Board of Education. I hope not.
You mean with employees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope not.
I mean, you had all that testimony. Nothing got resolved, which can understand because need solutions, but you can't come up with solutions, boom, like that.
Well, you need to hear the problems first.
That's right.
And how the problems are perceived are not always how the problems, are exactly.
But you've been hearing on our newscast today some what people have been going through, someone getting kicked, spit on, and bit on a daily basis, not to mention constant changing of soiled diapers.
Yeah, and
bus drivers.
Is that for employees or?
These are support employees.
So they have to change the diapers of who?
Young children.
Oh, I thought maybe. Okay. Now it's making more sense to me because I thought that was. Oh, okay, good. That makes a lot. Go ahead. I don't mean to be a smart aleck.
The bus drivers who had to work more than one route.
Yeah.
Custodians who've had to work long hours to keep the buildings clean. The teachers who have to do all kinds of things outside their normal job descriptions, like cafeteria duty.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of these things. First, let's get to the horrible one that I heard of the being spit on and whatever, and then have to change diapers. Well, I didn't know that the schools were nurseries. I'm not being a smartass. There's accidental pee-pee pants, but I can't remember what they're talking about a daily basis that this is going on.
I say most of the children this one person works with are not potty trained. Most are 5 to 8 years old, except for a few under four. And they work with the children, but
it
would be nice to get compensated fairly for it.
Well, they're not hired to be poopy trainers. Let me ask you this, Frank. Tell me the one about being bitten or spit on.
It's the
same people?
Yeah, this is the same person.
Man, I don't know what kind of classroom that is.
Well, I mean, if you have a classroom of 30 and you have one or two kids who are like that getting out of hand, that's bad enough. I mean, that you have to deal with one or two kids.
So you would agree with me those kids shouldn't be in there. Yes, sir. Let's go to Jim, see what Jim says. Jim, what say you? Let's hear what you have to say. Uh-huh. I got Frank. Might not have Jim, but I had Frank.
Lost Jim. Call back, Jim.
Oh, way to go, Frank. I'll tell you. It happens. All these buttons to push and things like that. See what I'm talking about? Maybe you need to support staff here. 301-694-9363. 301-694-9363.
All right, we got Mary on for
That's what I said. Hi, Mary, Jim. Good afternoon, Mary.
It's Contrary, Mary.
I know.
Tim.
I was just agitated.
Contrary.
Listen. This is throughout the school system at nearly every school. You know, the woman talking about being hit, bit, spit on, changing diapers, this is what we do. You know, if it weren't for the fact that I had fallen, I'm okay, I'll get there. But I haven't subbed in a long while because first schools were closed, took a bad fall, blah, blah, blah. I'll be back. I'm in physical therapy. But the point is, this is what I do all the time.
Wait a minute.
There's a program that's no longer called Challenges. It's called Expressions.
What?
Preschool level.
These are special
ed kids. Elementary level.
Yeah.
I've been to a middle school where the students are in this program. These are nonverbal special needs students. They cannot control their bodily function. Middle school, we have accidents and change these kids. This happens everywhere, and it's not just even if you're in that particular program. There are students who have IEPs who are mainstreamed into the classroom, and it's not even called mainstreaming now. They change these terms all the time. But they need help. I have changed plenty of diapers, of children and helped with toileting all well into the elementary ages. So
a,
I don't think people...
Question.
Yes, go.
All right. First of all, when you're hired, Mary, as a substitute teacher, you're making $1,000 a day. I know that. So you really have...
I started out at about $11
exactly,
an hour.
Exactly. Exactly. When I substituted, it was like $4 a day, but that was, you know,
sure.
Was in one room with the stove. But here's my point. When you agreed out of the kindness of your heart and seeing a need, agreed to substitute?
Yes.
Was it made clear to you that this would be part of your duties?
Well, if you are substituting for special needs assistance, it is part of your duties. It can be. And often when the assistant puts the job description in, they will say, you will need to help with bodily care, that kind of thing. If you go out to Rock Creek, that Rock Creek's almost like a hospital in some ways.
Right.
You know, these kids will have seizures on you. I've been in that position.
Sure.
I mean, but as far as the money goes, you know, when I sub, I do this for the fun of it. If I wanted to make a living, I'd use my master's degree and go somewhere.
Exactly.
But I don't know. It's not a living wage, and it's not worth it to go in there and get bit. I've been strangled by a five-year-old. This stuff happens every day.
Well, Mary, I'm glad you called because aside from all of this, yesterday I mentioned, and then last night we heard a lot of the issues, a lot of the problems, and hopefully the general public is hearing more about this. What are the solutions to this understaffing?
I'll give you one solution.
Yeah.
One solution off the top of my head. I thought about emailing them today. They have what they call resident subs. It's not a new thing. Back in the 90s, we had one.
Right.
It was a person hired that they're the first go-to person if a teacher's out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they need about, depending on the school, Wolfsville or Myersville, give them maybe two resident subs, not just one.
No,
I don't even know if they have any. Some of the middle schools, the high schools, the bigger elementary schools that are very crowded, like, say, Oakdale Elementary, give them a half a dozen resident subs with benefits.
Amen.
With benefits.
Well, we all agree. Yeah.
Do you have time to hang on, or are you busy today?
Yeah, I can hang on. I can tell you anything you want to know about school.
Well, I'm going to ask you some questions that maybe you have the answers for that others won't tell me. We'll be right back. Affects your school system wherever you're located. And we have Contrary Mary on the phone. This is a woman. I've only known her for 30 or 40 years. How long have you been here, Mary?
I showed up here as a toddler in 1963.
Well,
but you know my brother.
I sure do. But
Bernie
anyhow,
and all of them.
We won't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we served together in prison. But no, in the middle. So anyhow. I'm stopping. I'll behave. Mary, you have brought insight into this question of what is occurring in Frederick County Public Schools.
And understaffing.
And understaffing. Yeah. And what kind of staffing is needed, and are they being... one of the things you came up with is we used to call them full-time, regular, part-time substitutes. It's almost like a standby. That you're there, you're benefited. If you're needed, you go into the classroom. If not, you're there, you're still going to be salaried and benefited. I think that's a brilliant idea. Do you know why it was stopped?
I think that it was just a decision with the central office. For whatever reason, it was stopped. This took place when I was still teaching, and I left teaching in 96. And so then when I saw them advertising for resident subs, I said, well, they've done that before, and it is a good idea. But under the current circumstances, one resident sub at any given school is not enough
at all. No.
Yeah, and with the understaffing right now, they're looking for people so badly that if you get a job as a sub, you're almost guaranteed full-time, practically full-time work.
Without benefits.
Yeah.
You can, as a sub, even under normal circumstances, pre-COVID, you could work every day if you wanted to.
Right.
There's enough openings if you make yourself available at all the schools.
Exactly.
I can sign in on any given morning and look, and there are across the county from the primary schools, which we have Thurmont Primary, we have Middletown Primary. They house pre-K through second grade.
Correct.
And throughout all the elementary schools and throughout Rock Creek, throughout our charter schools and high schools, I can see anywhere of close to 900 sub-jobs every day available across the board, every day, every single day, for assistants and teachers.
Yes.
And now you add in there, so I could pick and choose. I could go anywhere I want. And as a sub, you can sub for just 1 hour if you want to. You can sub for 2 hours. You can sub, you can say, hey, you can call the school and say, I see you need somebody all day in Mrs. Smith's class. I can only stay until 11 o'clock. Do you want me? They would love to have you.
Well, certainly.
I mean, this is under normal circumstances. It's always all hands on deck. And then as you get into the holiday time, of course people are going to want to take off and get ready for the holidays. Everybody does it in all walks of work life. You say, oh, it's almost Christmas. I got to go do some shopping. I'll put in for leave. Right. But the teachers now, it's such desperate times that I'll tell you what, I would not want to be the teacher right now who's putting in for personal leave, even if I have accrued my leave for years. It's hard to look at your administrator and say, I need off next Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, what you may not know, subs right now, if you sub all day on a Monday or a Friday, you get $25 extra on top of your pay. The pay for a teacher to run a classroom, to run a whole classroom right now, is $17 an hour. That's for just a sub. I'm coming into this school to teach.
Ridiculous.
If it's for an assistant, it's $13.47.
Ridiculous.
And the irony is the assistants are the ones that are getting spit on, bit.
Right.
Everything else.
It's like,
I mean, you know, you can't blame the nonverbal students.
No. There's some things I'll talk about here. First of all, it reminds me of subs, reminds me of CNAs in a hospital. You talk about the people that have the greatest heart, the certified nursing assistants and nursing assistants, what they do and how they what their responsibilities are, and they're paid the least, obviously, and it's sad because they do, you don't have to say the dirty work, but they do the work. Not that nurses don't, get me wrong, or doctors, they do their thing every now and then, but the person that, if you're laying in that hospital bed and you have to be changed or cleaned, that's what you're going to get.
They do the bedpans.
Well, and I want you to remember too. Subs kind of create the work environment that they want to work in. That's the beauty of subbing, the flexibility. I may say, you know what? I live 2 minutes from Myersville Elementary, so I'm going to be a sub, and I'm only ever going to sub there.
Right.
Or you may be like me. I love it. I go wherever. I'll drive all the way to Kemptown just to go work with some pre-K kids. I don't care. I mean, this is, you know, I work when I set my own hours. There are people like me who will go anywhere. But there's one thing true for all subs generally, unless you know the school and you stick with one school and you stick with just, you know, certain grade levels or whatever, you're going to walk in, you better be very good at operating by the seat of your pants, because you are a person who is quite vulnerable. You can have all the notes.
Yeah.
You can have teachers.
All the lesson
some teachers
plans.
Are more prepared than others. But you don't know about a Tommy or Susie over here who are going to be doing God knows what. And that is another thing. Somebody spoke. I watched that meeting last night. My heart bled for these people. And I'm telling you, they talked about we've got to take a look at behaviors.
Yes.
Behaviors on buses.
Yes.
Behaviors
yes.
in the classroom. You know, I can get strangled and pinched in the neck by a 5-year-old, but, you know, I signed up for that in some ways. We're talking about people, children.
Yeah.
Who don't know what they're doing, who are almost, in some cases, incapable of knowing what they're doing. And then they're put into all the regular classrooms. You know, we have
mainstreaming,
this inclusion.
It didn't
mainstreaming,
work.
Mainstreaming, which never, is now called inclusion.
It never worked.
And you know, in many cases, it does work, but
I think it
should be the goal.
Well, it could be.
I call it mainstreaming gone wild.
Yeah.
I call it inclusion gone wild. We've gone over the board. We're kidding ourselves.
Yes. I mean,
by putting this child I have worked with a child who has Down syndrome in a second grade classroom, and they're doing long division. Now, what do you think I got accomplished with the Down syndrome student? You know what I'm saying? We are kidding ourselves in some ways.
I understand what you're saying. But the thing is, the severity of the disability is important. We cannot. But what happens also, Mary, is they put more than one at need child or whatever you want to say. I want to give them the best term because I'm not attacking them.
Children with a lot of needs,
right.
And they'll put several of them in one classroom.
And there is no way in this world that class is going to remain on target, on time, on task because of those extra needs of those two students. I can tell you, I've had to teach where you have this, and I have all the compassion. You have all the compassion, but I also have compassion for the other 20 or 30 kids there.
Amen.
And that's the part.
And you have to remember, too, the role of Rock Creek changed.
Yes.
When I was growing up here, I mean, I went to church with a girl who was a friend who actually attended Rock Creek,
mm-hmm.
only because she had a severe learning disability.
Wow.
Okay? She was just a little slow. And Rock Creek encompassed everybody back in the day.
We had Rock Creek.
I'm talking in the 60s and
70s. Forget Scott Key. See, we had Rock Creek.
We had Scott Key. And then they shut all, and then they kind of pushed everyone out into the regular system.
Yes.
And now Rock Creek is for your most severely and profoundly challenged students. It's a wonderful, wonderful school.
Yes.
But now everybody else is all throughout. And so now the current situation is, okay, you go look at this high school, and you've got three high school teachers out because they got a quarantine from COVID or whatever, and you've got this SEIA who's supposed to be in this science class with these three students who have IEPs, who need the assistance. They're going to pull that SEIA, and they're going to say, come here, we need you to cover history over here. They're pulling them, and that teacher is left with the three children who have IEPs who are just sitting there and or disrupting.
Right.
And then you add in, this is what these people were saying last night, really, Tim. Then you add in one of them runs out of the room.
Right.
Do you know how many kids I've chased after all the way off of the school grounds, even elementary level? They will bolt on you. These are students who are runners. It will say it. I will be prepared for that. It will say it in the job description.
Right.
This is a runner.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I want you to hold on again for the break because I have one more question. Is we had the situation, we had help, and no, it's no longer there. It's closed down. I'll tell you about that when we come back. It's 4:48 in the afternoon. Frank's here, and I'm here. And here, a few years ago, up to about a year ago, we had a school in Frederick County, professionally run with a staff in-house, locked down, and we would bus children to that school every day. The school was called the Jefferson School.
Oh, yeah.
And it was for their most severe disciplinary problems and mental problems and whatever. Now that that school is closed, that was run by Shepherd Pratt, by the way, and it was not an easy place to work because you can imagine because the students went all the way up to high school age and they were brought from all across the state. Well, I should say, well, as far away as Baltimore and anyhow, they were transferred up there. But Frederick County dropped off busloads every day. And I don't even know that most people in our county even knew about it other than...
Well, I think they knew about it a couple of years ago when there were all these reports of scandal among the staff there.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the staff because the staff changed almost weekly because...
I don't mean the entire staff, the staff.
No, it was professionally run. They had superintendent was a psychiatrist, a doctor, a regular medical doctor, psychiatrist, and the staff was. But then it came down to when you have people in the classroom... you can imagine, Mary, having to be in there where you became a bouncer. You know, it was a dangerous place to work. So the staff did, in fact, turn over a lot. And it was very difficult to get staff. But we don't have that any longer. So where did those kids go? Back into the classroom. Back into Frederick County Public Schools. And that's got to be more burden on particular classrooms.
Well, we do have the pyramid program, Tim. Mm-hmm. The pyramid program is at the elementary, middle, and high school level. It is actually at the elementary level at Lewistown. It's been there for years. I have worked there in that pyramid program, and they house a lot of our students, and they do a phenomenal job. Same at Blue Heron, the new school.
Urbana.
The pyramid program went from Spring Ridge to there. I have not been in that new school yet. At the middle school level, we have it at Ballinger Creek Middle. We have it at, I think it's TJ Middle. I may be wrong about that.
And you then, have the success program.
Success program, those are not the behavior issues like the pyramid
program. Is Heather Ridge still a disciplinary school?
Oh, yeah. That I could sub at Heather Ridge if I wanted to, and quite frankly, Heather Ridge, one of my classmates from high school, may she rest in peace, she was there as a secretary for a long while, and she left us at South Frederick, which is now Lincoln, and believe me, we had our hands full at South Frederick. This is before you even had assistants in the classroom like this. But they weren't doing all the mainstreaming at the time. But anyway, she said it was run. They didn't have a problem there because they ran it. They ran a tight ship there.
Right.
But I'm talking about the 90s. I don't know what Heather Ridge is like now. But I just never subbed there. But there is no end to the number of students who are profoundly affected, whether it's physical, in wheelchairs and whatnot. You know, I take children in wheelchairs at elementary schools. These children are perfectly high-functioning students. They're just in a wheelchair, and we go in the elevators to go in. Some of the schools have an elevator if you have to go up and down. And so we have them physically challenged. We have them academically challenged, behaviorally challenged, and just the variance there, the range of behaviors and issues are beyond belief. We have an actual nurse in the classrooms. Do you understand that? At the elementary level, I worked with a student who was in first grade, and it was no fault of her own. She was bright as can be, but she was confined to a wheelchair. And she would need help, and then the nurse stayed in the classroom, and she would come over, and every 20, 30 minutes or so, she would suction her for breathing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a classroom.
Yeah,
so this is what the teachers are living with, the administrators are living with. I could relate to every story these people told last night. They are not lying. They aren't making it up. They're not whining and crying. That I don't think most people realize when we think of school, we think of what we attended.
Correct.
When we were at West Frederick,
correct,
Elm Street,
correct,
Frederick High. It's not like that anymore. And these people are not paid enough. I've done the math. I could make at least $40 more if I went over to Washington County, which is actually, I could walk to Washington County from where I live in 5 minutes or less.
Right.
But I love being in Frederick County because I went through the school system. I support Frederick County Public Schools, and I know somebody at every school I go to.
Mary,
if it's a custodian or whatever.
Washington County is not a
super wealthy
county.
Right.
Frederick County.
Which makes it all the more amazing.
So where's the money going? It's not that we're underfunding schools. I will never believe that we're underfunding schools. Where's the money going?
Well, it's how they prioritize it there, I would have to say. And they do have some special schools and programs like we do. It's how they categorize their subs. I guess that they, people make time for what's important to them, and also people pay for what's important to them. They just pay their subs more there. They pay their subs more.
But I know it's... Mary, I know what Tim's thinking. He's thinking, do they have a lot of well-paid administrators?
Exactly. Exactly.
I haven't gone through. I don't know about their budget and so on. But if you heard Brad Young, and he wasn't making it up when he said last night, if we're going to pay all these people more, and if we're going to add benefits to get these positions filled and that kind of thing. You're looking at, we're going to need like $30 million more dollars or whatever. We still are the lowest per pupil expenditure in all of the state of Maryland. If I heard him correctly last night at the meeting, we are still at the bottom in spending on our students. As far as I understand, please forgive me if I quoted him wrong.
Yeah,
okay.
Because
but we're real down there. Maybe we're the bottom three, but yeah, we're down there.
But what we pay our teachers after the first 3 years is not a disgrace, as we've been told. We may have a low starting salary, but 3 years in the system, you're doing be doing quite well.
Yeah, it's the support people that are really...
The support people are the ones that are not getting benefited and getting...
Well, there are, but those that get benefits, when you sign on to benefits, let me tell you, I think you're getting some Cadillac benefits here.
Yes,
the
ma'am.
Benefits far outweigh the salary.
Amen.
There are assistants that will tell you they could qualify on salary alone. Their child could qualify for free and reduced lunch. Out of school. Can you imagine?
No.
But their benefits, they want the job for the benefits because they need the benefits.
Mary, we appreciate your calling and holding on and talking to us about this as a person who knows the system and has been in it for a while.
And you can speak with the clarity and not the emotion. But Mary, I thank you for your insight.